welcome everybody into the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers Podcast. I am your co-host, Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And here we are going into the all-important third preseason game as the Packers head to Winnipeg, Canada in just a few days here, Tom, to take on the Oakland Raiders in front of like nine people.
Yeah, not going to be a big crowd, it sounds like.
Right, especially with the, I guess, the news of the week, of the past week, and the back tightness of one Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I mean, did not appear in the Baltimore game on Thursday night with back tightness. And I guess the Packers are calling it precautionary for not playing that night, and then calling it precautionary on Sunday when he didn't practice. And I believe they're beyond precautionary. I mean, this is a back injury. There's nothing, no ifs or ands or buts about it. If he could practice, he would be out on the field practicing. I don't think there's anything precautionary about it.
Yeah, it'd be Sunday was 5 days from when head coach Matt LaFleur said it first happened for the quarterback. So, of course, he had the qualifier, if you will, that if this were a regular season game, he'd be practicing and playing through it. But that's not to say that it isn't an issue.
No, it's obviously an issue because they're 2 weeks away from their season opener, and they only have, I'd have to check, let's see, one practice this week, then three practices next week, and then three practices the week after that. So they're seven practices away, I believe, from playing their opener, seven or eight.
Yeah, and they're, look, it's opening on the road against a Chicago Bears defense that, while there may be some regression from six defensive scores and 36 turnovers, I mean, it's still a pretty good group led by a healthy Khalil Mack. And while Matt LaFleur is correct in saying there isn't much defensively that will surprise Aaron Rodgers, I don't think that's the problem here.
No.
With missing practices or game reps. It's missing practices and game reps with running this new offense.
Yeah, I think their concern right now, and this has surprised me a lot, I shouldn't say a lot, but a certain degree, that he's been so consumed with not showing the Bears anything, being really vanilla. I'm like, you better work on the stuff that you're going to do. You should just be good at the stuff that you know you need to do. Now, I know they're doing that in practice, but right now the reps are being diluted because they're still trying to figure out who's going to make the 53-man roster. And so I think 10 game reps are worth quite a bit when you have all your starters together. And, I wrote in a column on Monday that I think LaFleur screwed up by not playing Rodgers in the first offense in the first game. And I have to admit, at the time, I didn't think it was a big deal. But I'm also not paid to think, look at the whole big picture. And I think LaFleur is. And I'm not sure why he wouldn't want his quarterback, if he's going to hold him out of a game, wouldn't you hold him out of a road game in a foreign stadium, in a foreign country, on artificial surface, if that were going to be the game you're going to hold him out? I mean, I would want my first game with that offense to be in Lambeau Field.
Yeah, it's especially when you're talking about maybe, changing things up or doing things differently, why necessarily hold fast and true to the tropes of, sitting out 1-4, play a little bit in 2, play more in 3. I mean, there's no rules for any of this, right? So you're right, I guess, to a degree, knowing what you had in Houston. And then the fact, the quarterback himself admitted he didn't really like what he saw from the Texans in practice because of how basic it was.
Right. And I'm sure they were basic in the game.
Yeah.
But at least they were playing at game speed.
Right.
And more than anything, I think in that first game you want to establish your own speed of the game. You want to establish the standard for how you're going to play. And you're definitely not playing as fast and as footloose when DeShone Kizer is your starting quarterback, which he was in the first game.
Yeah.
And now has been in the second game and probably will be in the third game. And now you've lost any opportunity, more than likely any opportunity, to play Rodgers in the preseason. And I think I agree with you 100%. It doesn't matter for Rodgers. It matters for everybody else. And I will be really surprised if they're in any way sharp in the first game, you know, whether Rodgers plays in Canada or not.
Yeah, and right, because the Bears themselves are going to make a lot of teams look, you know, silly at times or make things look difficult at times, right?
Absolutely.
So, and look, this is not there are no secrets here with what Matt LaFleur is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury might be trying to hide, you know, the Madden cheat code in Arizona for whatever it is they're going to do. But this is pretty standard stuff. L.A., San Francisco, Atlanta a couple years ago, Tennessee a year ago. I mean, there might be a few wrinkles. The 2-minute might have some... you know, what the Packers have done in the past since Rodgers is going to be calling those plays. But yeah, for the most part, it is what it is. There's no, you know what I mean? For what's different is how Matt LaFleur is going to call it, right? And he hasn't called any of this to his quarterback yet.
Yeah, and I still think that when you play offense, and you better have some bread and butter plays that even if the Bears line up and it's there to stop you, you can still run it and you can still have some success. And I don't know what those plays are. There's some play action that I see every single day in practice, which is, you know, play action slant. You know, they get the linebackers to bite and they throw it across the middle. So it's a great play. I can't imagine that the Bears haven't watched every single piece of film of the Rams and 49ers to get ready for this game and know what those kind of plays are going to be. So I don't know. I just, in my opinion, going into the first game without having Rodgers taken a single game snap is not a good thing.
And let's add to that a little bit. So on Sunday's practice, Jimmy Graham ran off the field. I'm pretty sure his right pinky was facing the other direction.
Yeah.
When he did, played through a broken thumb last year. I mean, he was having his issues catching the ball, getting open anyway. Matt LaFleur says Jamal Williams probably isn't going to play preseason. Aaron Jones seems on track to finally get a few reps, in Winnipeg. But, I mean, you're talking about Danny Vitale and or Malcolm Johnson, however that competition was going. You know, Johnson returned to practice, Vitale's out. I mean, we're talking about really important skill players in the run game, in the pass game, that are not together, haven't been, won't be. How big of a potential issue is that also in terms of, as you said, laying the bedrock, the sort of go-to bread and butter, not just pass plays, but run plays for this team?
I think it's a little bit of a factor. I wouldn't be as worried about the running backs. I mean, they do need to get in tune with the linemen on some of the wide zone. But I really feel like Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams have enough experience in outside zone that they'll be okay. I think what they're missing, as much as anything, is having Rodgers out there making whatever calls he's going to make at the line of scrimmage, decision making. You know, the wide receivers don't know for sure who he's going at. I mean, when DeShone Kizer's in there and he's staring down a wide receiver or whatever, it's kind of obvious. I think you're losing out on the timing, the understanding of what the offense looks like with Rodgers in it, which is different than it looks like with everyone else. I'm not saying 10 snaps in the first game would have changed all of that, but at least if he had played in that first game, LaFleur could go into this one and say, I'm not playing Rodgers. I don't have to play him. I at least got him a taste of live action. Now he's like, the decision is, okay, do I play him and his back's a little tight, it's precautionary, or do I just say, forget it, he's done for the preseason, and then he's had no snaps. I mean, that's the position he's put himself in by not playing him in that first game.
Is there also a concern, so our Pete Doherty sat with Aaron Rodgers and talking about staying in the pocket, throwing in rhythm. A big part of this offense is being under center and turning your back to the defense with that play action. When we're talking about a back, I mean, one of the reasons he moved the shotgun as much as he did over the last few years was due to injuries, right? And not being able, right? The broken leg, not comfortable getting under center. Is the back, I mean, there's a different biomechanical part of being under center and moving around. Is a, I mean, how much of that is this too, where, yeah, maybe if he was in shotgun 85% of the time, it's not a big deal, but he's being asked to get under center.
Yeah.
And properly get back and move, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, there is a lot of action in terms of getting to the wide zone, pitching the ball, you know, making sure you get the ball in the running back's back or gut. But I don't know to what degree, I guess until we talk to him, we don't know where it's restricting him. And really, they shouldn't play him in this game, and they definitely can't play him in the last game. You cannot play that your starting quarterback in the last game, because if he, let's just say, bumps his hand, you know, and he's got a swollen hand, he's got less than 7 days to do that. It's not like they're playing on Sunday. They're playing on Thursday. They're playing Thursday to Thursday. So you can't play him in that last game, because even if it's just a minor injury, it could affect him. So I think this is the game they have to decide whether they're going to or whether or not. Maybe the back injury will make the decision for him. But, you know, either way, I don't know.
So this puts, you know, we've talked about it to a degree, you know, how this defense has looked. The starters get their first true taste in Baltimore. You could argue they had the same issues tackling Lamar Jackson that the backups did against Joe Webb against Houston. A touchdown was called back, so 6 points allowed against a very unique offense. What were some thoughts there on this starting 11, if you will? Darnell Savage, of course, only, you know, again, more limited, I guess, to a degree, but whatever. I mean, the group was out there.
Well, and before we go to that, because it just struck me that we didn't address it, was what do they do about the backup position?
Right.
Right now, it's between Kizer and Boyle. I tend to lean a little towards Boyle. Really? But I don't think either one of them is tearing it up. And do they think about trying to pick up a veteran guy to get him through this season? I don't know. That's got to be something that Brian Gutekunst is thinking about.
Isn't that something you should have thought about in April?
Yes.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, to me, I thought they made the by not signing a veteran quarterback, to me, at least to me, he made the decision, and Matt LaFleur then at whatever point his input mattered, that this was the plan.
Well, I don't fault him for going with trying to find out whether Kizer and Boyle, whether one of those guys could be the backup. There's enough talent there that maybe you have to find out. I don't think it's too late to find that guy.
No?
My goodness, the Eagles just signed Josh McCown, who had been sitting on the street, you know, at age 67, and he comes in and he's going to be competing in Philadelphia. So, yeah, who is that going to be? I don't know. I mean, we'll have to go through all the rosters and figure out if there are some guys who are in danger of being let go. But he's got to at least consider it when that time comes. And I'll be interested to see who it is, who is officially the backup, because I don't know. Neither one's blowing me away. No. I'm going with Boyle right now because in the games he's throwing touchdowns.
Right.
And Kaiser's been okay.
Okay. So even if Tim Boyle's throwing touchdowns against third and fourth stringers.
Well, I always said this about playing against third stringers. You're playing with third stringers against third stringers.
That's fair.
So either way, the competition is the same, and you got guys blowing routes left and right, you know, blocks not being made. I always go back to, I learned this early in my career, and it was watching Ty Detmer. The reason Ty Detmer made the Packers roster was because he was playing with a bunch of guys who are not going to be in the NFL, and through hook and crook, he kept moving the team down the field, you know? I mean, he just had this knack for moving the team. And Mark Brunell was the same way when he came in. So Matt Hasselbeck, the same way. Okay. They were playing with a bunch of schlubs, but they still managed to move the team. So I don't think if you were playing with the ones and going against the threes, then okay. You know, then I might say, you know, that doesn't mean as much. But when you're playing threes against threes, then I'm okay with the way judging them some on production.
Okay. But I guess, so that's interesting. So you don't, I mean, I guess that we're presuming Aaron Rodgers will be healthy and ready to play against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they, on August 31st, they cut DeShone Kizer, Tim Boyle, and Manny Wilkins in the hopes that they can put a claim in and get a guy, you're not worried that that guy is arriving in Green Bay on Monday.
Well, yeah, and you can't cut both of them, both Kizer and Boyle.
Okay. Right, you know what I'm saying. Veteran. But it's
so one of those guys is your backup, and you're bringing in a veteran. It's sort of what McCarthy did in 2013 after Rodgers got hurt. He brings in Seneca Wallace.
Yeah,
you know, brings up Scott Tolzien, and I mean, it wasn't great. Seneca Wallace had a chance to be okay, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
Like in his first game, I thought he had a chance to be okay, and then they had to go to Tolzien. So there's a guy like that out there that, you know, if you need him in a game, I don't know if he's taken you anywhere in the season. I'd rather go with a young guy like Boyle or Kizer for the season. But if it's a one-game situation, maybe a older guy can get you through.
Yeah. Which you know, brings me to another part of backup. I don't know. Is Alex Light? Brian Bulaga twists the back at halftime. I mean, you feel real good about or David Bakhtiari rolls an ankle. I mean, I would say their backup swing tackle hasn't really been...
It's not been 100% solidified. I think Light's got the talent to do it. He's got, you know, he's coming out of Richmond. He's still only a year and a half into his career. That's a lot to ask of him to play left tackle if Bakhtiari goes down. But at this point, you're not picking up any left tackles that can start on the street. You know, nobody's you know, shopping those guys around. So yeah, I sort of think that Light is your left tackle and maybe your backup right tackle. Maybe Billy Turner has to play right tackle.
It's Billy Turner basically the backup tackle, and then on either side.
Right
and
tackle. I don't know if he can play left tackle. I mean, maybe Bulaga has to move over to left tackle if something happens to Bakhtiari. But I would say that right now they're pretty stuck with going with Light.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pankey, I think, is more of a guard. And I don't know Yeah, I don't know that I would go with him at left tackle.
And I know these are issues facing most NFL teams, so this is not like the Packers are in a in a different pond here, especially when it comes to tackle play.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why Brian Gutekunst liked the Billy Turner and has tried a Pankey to a degree where, you know, I think he has said, you know, McCray's played out there. Maybe that helps him make this team because he could get you. I know he thought Elton Jenkins could get him through a half.
Yeah.
I think he said on draft day. But
well, let's not forget Lane Taylor played left tackle. Justin McCray played left tackle. I mean, they got through it with those guys. It wasn't pretty, but that's one of the things, as you said, about having these guys who can play multiple positions, especially having guys who played left tackle in college. I mean, just about every single guy they pick up has played left tackle. I think Elton Jenkins is one of the first guys who had never played tackle that they've drafted. They like guys who can have played outside and then move them inside when they prove they can't play outside. So on that subject, we also have to talk about the race between Elton Jenkins and Lane Taylor.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty up in the air right now. And I think LaFleur indicated it was going to be kind of a week-to-week thing.
Is that a situation where you – can you – how does that go over? When you have a highly paid, relatively long-term starting lineman. Now, Lane seems like a nice guy, and it, you know, but that doesn't mean that doesn't always cause issues. Or is he a good enough teammate, a good enough guy that despite the paycheck, despite his history, if Elton Jenkins gets the call, Lane Taylor's just ready to go, next man up?
I think he's... If it were anybody else, I'd be a little bit concerned. You know, if it were Josh Sitton at his point in his career, or TJ Lang, then I would think that that's a problem for them to be on the bench. But I think Lane Taylor doesn't have an ego problem, and he would continue to work and compete and try to be better than Elton Jenkins every week. Question is, could you, because he's been a starting guard in the NFL, could you get something for him? You know, if you're not going to use him and you think maybe Adam Pankey can be a, you know, a backup guard, or you like Lucas Patrick and McCray as your backup guards, throw, you know, Jenkins as your starter, McCray and Patrick as your backups. Maybe those three guys are enough, and you can find someone who needs a guard, and you trade Lane Taylor.
Somebody would need a guard. I mean, it's just, you're talking about tackle play, but offensive linemen, especially those with a track record, and it's not like Lane Taylor's 36.
No,
you know, so I mean,
and he doesn't make that much money.
Right.
I think his cap number's in $2 to $3 million this year.
So he's a solid player, but I could see that would make sense if...
He started a lot of games in the NFL. It's not like he's a broken down guy.
Right.
You know, they just drafted a guy
that they really like.
That's really promising. He's a big, strong human being. I'm kind of surprised even that he lasted as long as he did for them. I think most people viewed him as just a center.
Right.
And he's showing that he potentially could play guard.
Yeah. It's, well. Whether Rodgers plays in Winnipeg or not, the backup quarterback, left guard, and to a degree those tackle spots. I mean, these are important reps, an important game for them.
Yeah,
because some of those guys may not see action against Kansas City.
I can't remember the last time we went into the third preseason game and you were like, you know, Bakhtiari, Balaga. You know, your right guard and your center are all healthy, you know, and they've had plenty of snaps together and it's not a big deal. Usually they've been scrambling at this point to try to get those five guys together, and they go into the regular season and they haven't been together. So they're in pretty good shape, I think, on the offensive line, especially since we're just talking about backups.
Yeah. And do you, so finally on that end, Tom, if Rodgers doesn't play, do you sit Lindsley, Bakhtiari, Balaga?
I wouldn't. I would play
still
him.
Give them still and give Kaiser Boyle a true test. As we were talking about threes and ones, I mean, at least give them a chance.
Yeah, just give them a series or two, and then go just sort of what like they did in Baltimore. I think they gave him offensive lineman two series.
Yeah, I think so.
So do that and then move on. And maybe give it to Boyle because Kaiser got it last time.
That's true.
So maybe Boyle should get it this time.
So we.
But anyway, you started out.
Yeah, started out on the defense.
So let's go over there now.
Yeah, it's what were your initial thoughts for tackling aside? Because I personally, I think that's just an issue in this league. I don't think.
I do too.
Yeah. So whatever. To me, that's a whatever. I think that's something you got to work through in the regular season nowadays.
I wrote down who all the missed tackles were, and let me see if I have it in the right notebook. I don't think I do, but if you looked at it. Many of them were Ty Summers, Curtis Bolton, Chandon Sullivan, or Will Redman. I mean, we're talking guys who aren't starters.
Yeah.
Tremont Williams had a bad one on Lamar Jackson, but it was Lamar Jackson. We'll give him
right. And I think Jair Alexander got hurdled on the way to the end zone that was called.
And those guys will turn it on when it's time. So I'm not as, totally out of my mind about that as some fans are. I think that'll correct itself. But from a, just a standpoint, I looked at what Patton did, and he played his base defense almost an incredible amount in that game, and he will play his base defense maybe 25%
right.
of the time.
Right.
So it's really hard. Again, I say this over and over again in the blog that in the preseason you're judging individuals and not units because that's what it's all about is individuals, playing their role and you're not doing any scheming and you're not trying to get guys matched up one-on-one, and you're not doubling guys. And so I think it's more about individuals. So I've kind of focused on that more. I think if you just want an observation on the defense, I think they're faster. I think there's no question that they're faster. I mean, you had guys like Savage, Tony Brown, forgetting somebody who is really fast that I was considering. Tony Brown.
In the back end? There?
Yeah, in the back end. Alexander is really fast. Sullivan and Redmond are good athletes. So I think you do have some speed back there, and I think that's always a plus.
So we don't need to break down the entire defense, but to your point, quickly through three individuals, I think, that are important to note. So, one, you mentioned base defense. So, let's go to Curtis Bolton, who went with the Oren Burks injury. They've deemed it not season-ending. Personally, it sounds like a Kumerow situation. Get him through the 53, put him on IR, see where he's at in 8 weeks,
could
6 weeks.
Could be, or maybe they just
carry him as
carry
just
him
some hurt
for
guy
a couple the, weeks.
So,
yeah.
But Curtis Bolton, undrafted out of Oklahoma, was the first man up, had a groin issue, which is why Ty Summers, I think we saw in Family Night and in against Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But Curtis Bolton's been that guy in base. So, I mean, as an undrafted guy, I guess, getting that first look next to Blake Martinez.
I think Curtis Bolton has the 53 made, and I think he's going to be a special teams demon. I think he's one of those guys made for special teams.
Like Crawford.
Like Crawford. Yeah, he's undersized. But it's like he's shot out of a cannon. He's coming 100 miles an hour. And I don't know if you want him on the field a ton in his first season. I think more than likely you're going to see them playing that three safety look, with either Raven Green or Josh Jones or even Ibrahim Campbell. More than likely, I would bet that they put him on PUP to start the season. And then he's got 6 weeks to just get in shape, and he can't practice.
Campbell. Okay.
Yeah. They'll put him, you know, put him on PUP, and then he misses the first automatically for 6 weeks, and then they have a 10-week window to or 6 weeks to 10 weeks to decide whether to activate him. I think that's why they put him on PUP to start with, because their plan was to put him on PUP when the season starts.
Interesting. Okay, so that leads me to the second individual, which would be one, Josh Jones, who has been held out of family night or whatever. He has an illness, which we don't know what illness all encompasses.
Except he's out there every day.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
So I guess, where does he fit with the Campbell signing? And Mike Pettine flat out says, look, Ibrahim Campbell can start for us if need be. Raven Green has been that third. So is Josh Jones on this team? Is he a guy who is just here until he's not?
My gut is that he won't be on the team. And whether they trade him or cut him, I just don't see him taking a spot. I think even with Campbell on PUP, Josh Jackson can play that third safety position, plus he can play the slot. He's pretty pretty versatile. Raven Green can play that inside spot. Amos can play that spot down next to Blake Martinez, and then you play Savage and Josh Jackson or Savage and Raven Green.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a lot of options with that. I think they've had enough of Josh Jones. That's my gut.
Yeah.
Nobody's told me that in the organization, so I don't know for sure. But right now, I think they can move on without him.
Interesting, especially with Campbell being, if you think he'll be on PUP to start. So one other individual defensively, Packers fans are already wringing their hands over the number 12 overall pick, Spoon. He's played a lot. Mm-hmm. Rashawn Gary has no stats.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, you get your Twitter film guys who say, well, you know, he's affecting things and whatever. But, you know, conversely, people look out in New England, they see Chase Winovich running around doing things. And Mike Pettine says, hey, the kid's trying to learn a lot of different things right now. He says he feels he's getting better. He told our Ryan Wood, hey, I'm playing a lot, but things are happening. If you're looking at individuals, he is one who has happened to play a bunch the first few weeks. What are your thoughts? Have you seen, look, our last podcast, we raved about how he's looked in practice. It's been a couple games now. Do you put stock into it? Do you say, hey?
Yeah, I think you do. I think you put some stock into it, but I think the luxury that Patton has right now is he's got Preston Smith, he's got Za'Darius Smith, and he's got Kyler Fackrell and possibly Reggie Gilbert. So Rashawn Gary can be a specialty player. He can be a third down rusher. He can be a guy, he's got so much power that maybe you just run a lot of stunts with him and you know, let him eat up some blockers and get other guys free. Maybe he gets free. I don't think you have to start him, and I think that's the best thing they got going for him. The fact that in this transition to a true outside linebacker position, they don't have to play him a lot.
Yeah.
They have other guys, and they're not relying on him like, you know, Cleveland was when they took Upshaw.
Yeah.
You know? So I just think that he's, you know, give him some time. It takes some time for defensive linemen, particularly, and guys transitioning to make that transition.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You know, it could be that his shoulder that's bothering him, too, that's not making him as effective. And, you know, you just can't judge a guy in two games.
I mean,
let's be real. You can't. You can make some assessments, but you can't judge him.
So there's one other outright competition, I guess, according to the head coach, coordinator, and that would be the kicker, Sam Ficken, Mason Crosby. We sort of asked Matt LaFleur what's the value in a 22-yard practice field goal, and he basically agreed and said, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to have to address that. Two games left. Look, the Bears made their decision. In that they're going with Eddie Pinheiro at least for a bit. The Vikings made a trade, sent a fifth rounder to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Which Chris Thomason, our colleague, covers the Vikings, said the Packers actually were interested.
I wondered about that, yeah. And I thought about, well, that would have been a bold move.
Right.
To just do that and say goodbye to everybody else.
That's essentially what they would have had to do, right?
He's got a monster leg, I guess, and had a really nice camp from everything we've heard. But it would have been a really bold move.
So I guess where does that leave these two going, kicking off on our artificial surface in Canada? I don't know what the wind is like in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
It's an interesting-looking stadium. Obviously, one more home game at Lambeau. Is it a competition still? I mean, they're...
Here's what I would probably do if I could, and I don't know that they could. I would keep them both. I think
on the 53?
Yeah, I think you've got to at some point transition out of Mason Crosby.
Okay.
Ficken's got some potential. He's got a big leg. He's a really good kickoff guy.
It's not unheard of. Teams have.
But you gotta have a really good roster to do
right.
that. You know, where you feel confident. That's why I think it's unlikely it would
right.
happen. I don't think the Packers have enough talent where they can give a second position to a,
right.
a fourth position to a specialist.
Right.
So that said, they have to make a decision. Are they looking towards the long term of their kicking game, or are they looking towards this season? And I don't know. At this point, I don't know. I mean, Crosby's been more consistent. He's hit just about everything he's taken. I think he's missed one in practice.
And that was right when he first came off.
Yeah, his first day he came back. He looks like he's hitting the ball really well. Ficken's got a heck of a leg, and, you know, in the next couple of years he could be pretty good. But I don't know. That's the decision. That's why I don't get paid a crap load of money to make those decisions.
You know what's interesting, and not that teams need to emulate other teams, but I will say this. The Bears, I think those guys each had 58 kicks through camp.
Really?
They were making those guys kick, and they were making it a thing media-wise, where they made them meet with the media, they made the team watch.
Try to put the promos
pressure
on
them. Yeah, I mean, now granted, the Bears were clearly have scar tissue there, and I'm not saying the Packers needed to do that, but... you know, again, I'm curious to see what kind of pressure Matt LaFleur or Sean Menenga try to put on these guys, especially Sam Ficken to a degree.
I don't think Crosby need.
Right.
I don't think we need to test him for
no.
pressure. He's been
right.
through it before, but Ficken does.
Right. Trot him out there for 55 yards.
Yeah.
Especially off turf.
Why not?
I mean,
why not?
You know, and see what happens.
Like that, they had that fourth and four.
I understood
why he wanted to go for it with Kaiser, you know, and. Whatever, but that would have been an interesting situation to put Ficken out there, and I don't know how long that would have been.
Right, but it's we'll definitely get you a roster-ish podcast here in the next week after this third preseason game.
We have to start making some predictions on how this roster is going to pair down.
And which is interesting because there's some good battles, not just the ones we addressed here, but the back end of the receiver room. Back end of the running back / fullback room. You know, a lot of this, I guess, if you're Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, you feel pretty good about your, let's just call it the starting 25. If you're going to loop in, you know, Raven Green or Tremont Williams, if you're going to loop in, Robert Tonyan and, you know, as your third, fourth tight end. I mean, there's some, you feel probably set with that. It's more the back end of the roster heading into the final preseason
game. But there's
game.
Still some battles with those receivers. And
definitely.
The tight ends. Yeah.
So,
and the backs.
Yeah. So we will not be making you wait as long as Tom and I hit our regular season stride. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening to this. We will be with you soon. For Tom, I am Jim. We will see you next time.
See ya.